Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is again your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, thanking God for the privilege I have of opening His book, the Bible, and bringing to you another message in the gospel. You know, the word gospel means good news or glad tidings. And it sure is good news to those who are perishing in their sins, to those who have their back towards God and their face towards the pit. But friend, I want you to know that the day of God's grace is quickly drawing to a close. Yes, every indication in the world today points to the soon return of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, when Jesus Christ comes again, the day of God's grace, as far as you are concerned, will have ceased to exist, and you'll be subject to the divine wrath and judgment of God. Now let's listen to our first hymn for today, and it tells us about the grace of God. And it's entitled, Amazing Grace. I sure thank God today for His amazing grace expressed in His Son. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich." We who are saved, born again children of God today, I believe we're the richest people on the face of the earth, because we know something of the amazing grace of God expressed in the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Almighty God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son. We thank Thee that He was the one full of grace and truth. Thy word tells us that even though the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the grace of God. We thank Thee for Thy love and Thy mercy towards us. And we pray Thy blessing, Father, upon this day of grace. Bless Thy word about to be read and spoken from today. Save souls, for we ask it in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, before we open the book to get into the message today, let's listen to another lovely tune, and it's entitled, Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb?
Have you been to Jesus with the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
Are you washed?
In the blood.
In the blood.
In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless, scarlet, white and snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, scarlet, white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Friends, those of you who have your Bibles handy and who would care to follow me in the Scriptures, I'll be using several portions of the Word of God today, four in fact. The first is found in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 14. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach, that thou must die. Behold, thy days approach, that thou must die. Second scripture in John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking and he says, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now the third portion, in this same chapter 3 of the Gospel by John, John 3 and verse 7, and again the Lord Jesus Christ is doing the speaking. John 3 and verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now for the fourth and final scripture, in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and beginning at verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, today, and with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I'd like to direct your attention to several verses of Scripture which deal with facts that are imperative, or in other words, absolutely necessary. Now, in our first text, we read of something that is considered highly imperative, and that is death. In Deuteronomy 31 and verse 14, we read, Behold, thy days approach when thou must die. Had we read 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 14, we would read practically the same thing. For here's what we read there. For we must needs die. Sinner friend, the reason why death is a must is simply because of a three-letter word, S-I-N, sin. Yes, in Romans 6 and 23, we're told that the wages of sin is death. In Ezekiel 18 and 20, we read, The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And where did sin and death have its beginning anyway? Well, friends, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Then I think of what we read in 1 Corinthians 15:22. Listen to this solemn edict. In Adam, all die. Yes, because we, as Adam's offspring, have inherited his sinful nature, we too must be paid the wages of our sin, and that's death. And friend, it doesn't make any difference whether you're rich or poor, old or young, whether you're Catholic, Protestant or Jew, Irish, Scotch or Polish, the verdict is the same. Behold, thy days approach when thou must die. And friend, the sad part about it is the fact that most people who die are not prepared to die. They're not prepared to meet God. And the moment they die, they open their eyes in hell, being in torment. Here's what the Lord Jesus Christ says in the Sermon on the Mount, over in Matthew 7:13-14. Strive to enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life eternal, and few there be that find it. Now that's what the Lord Jesus Christ says, friend. He says that many people die and go to hell, but few people die and go to heaven. And some of you listening to my voice today honestly think you're bidding fair for heaven, and yet in reality, you're on the broad road that leads down to the pit. Yes, some of you are church members, but you're on the road to hell. Some of you are virtuous, honest, educated, cultured, moral, and ethical. But friend, you're on the road to hell. Some have been baptized, confirmed, and dedicated, and perhaps even consecrated. But my friend, you're going to die. And if you've never trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all sin, then according to God's word, you'll spend all eternity in the place that Jesus Christ calls hell. Now friends, I realize only too well that the subject of death is not a very pleasant subject. But let's be realistic about it, friend. Death is certain. Yes, in Hebrews 9:27 we read that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Sinner friend, every heartbeat takes you closer to death. Yes, every tick of the clock is taking you nearer to the inevitable death which is staring you in the face. Now let me add one little thought before I go on, and that is the fact that it's quite possible that those of you who are truly born-again Christians may never experience physical death. Because if we're alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, we'll be caught up to meet Him in the air and will not have to pass through the dread article called death. Now over in John 3:14, we read of another must. There the Lord Jesus Christ tells Nicodemus, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Here the Son of God reminds us of the time back in the wilderness when the people of Israel were complaining to Moses about the existing conditions, and God sent them fiery serpents down among the people to bite the people, and many people died. Then you recall how Moses pleaded with God on behalf of the people, and he was told to make a brazen serpent of brass and to hang it on a pole. And when the doomed people looked at the brazen serpent on the pole, instead of dying, they would be healed and they would live. Well, so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He too must be lifted up on the cross if those who are spiritually dead are to become spiritually alive. In John 12:34, he declared, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Yes, and I for one thank God for the fact that Jesus Christ must be lifted up on the old rugged cross if I am to escape the penalty for my sin. Mind you, sinner friend, He was the one who was wholly harmless and undefiled, and even though He knew no sin, yet God made Him to become sin for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The Apostle Peter tells us that Jesus Christ was the just one who died for us the unjust, that He might bring us back to God. And had He not shed His precious blood, and had He not died in our guilty room and in our stead, then there could be no salvation for our soul. and we'd all be doomed and damned to the lake of fire, and that for all eternity. So you see, my friend, why the Lord Jesus Christ, just like that serpent back there in Numbers, had to be lifted up. He had to die if we were to live. Now then, let's take a look at another must which was expressed by the Lord Jesus Christ in that same John chapter 3. And there we are told in John chapter 3 and verse 7, "Marvel not that I say unto thee that ye must be born again." There he is bringing before Nicodemus the necessity of being regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God in order to see the kingdom of God. And here's what the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Ye must be born again." Sinner friend, if you never hear the gospel again as long as you live, I want you to remember this statement by the Lord Jesus Christ. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now perhaps someone listening in today may have heard this scripture before, but they've never been told why they must be born again and how they must be born again. So please listen, my friend. Listen as I seek to tell you very briefly why you must be born again and how you can be born again even today. Now friend, when you and I were born physically into our mother and dad's family, we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity according to Psalm 51 and verse 5. In other words, your first or physical birth brought you into this life with a sinful nature which all mankind has inherited from our first parents, Adam and Eve. In Job chapter 14 and verse 4 we read concerning our natural birth, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No, not one." Again we read in Job chapter 15 and beginning at verse 14, "What is man that he should be clean? Or he that is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Yea, the heavens are not clean in God's sight, and how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water?" Well, since we're all sinners, and have come short of the glory of God, we must have a means of being restored to our Creator God. In other words, in order to become children of God, we must be born of God into God's family. Now your next question is no doubt, well, how? How can I be born again? Well friends, it's a question of faith, F-A-I-T-H, and it's by faith alone. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we read that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Friends, here's how you can be born again and made fit for heaven right now. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, here's what we read. Now listen, some of you professing Christians, listen too, so that you can tell your unsaved friends just exactly what the Bible says. This is 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Was that clear enough? Let me repeat it. This is 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Again, we read in James chapter 1 and verse 18 that we are begotten or born of God by the Word of truth. Sinner friend, everyone who has ever been born again has been born again the very same way. Obviously at different times and in different geographical areas, but we were all born again by the Word of God. First, we believed what God's Word said about us as a sinner. And then we believed what God's Word says about Jesus Christ being our Savior. Now that's what salvation's all about, friends. It's simply a question of believing God. But let me hasten to warn you that simply believing these facts intellectually do not make you a child of God. Friends, an intellectual assent to given historical facts do not make a person a child of God. I believe that countless multitudes of poor souls are down in hell today, and they could tell you how to be saved and born again, and yet they themselves are now doomed and damned. Why, before I was saved way back there on June the 2nd of 1952, I was preaching the gospel. Yes, I was telling other people how to be born again, and I myself had never been saved. Listen, friend, salvation is dependent upon the sovereignty of God, and a sinner will never be born again until the Holy Spirit of God, through God's Word, reveals to that sinner his lost, helpless, depraved, and hopeless condition in the sight of a holy God. And friends, when the Holy Spirit of God goes to work on a sinner, That sinner will know it. Yes, and this knowledge will not only reach his head, it'll also reach his heart. You know, a lot of people have a head knowledge of salvation, but it has never reached their heart. And unfortunately, they often allow pride to keep them from admitting that they had made a false profession. Listen, friend, if I thought for one moment that I was laboring under a false profession, I'd bow and bare my heart before God and man right now, and I'd cry out to God for mercy. Yes, before I'd allow pride to keep me out of the kingdom of God, I would cry out to God for mercy, and I wouldn't care if everyone in the world were laughing at me. Listen, friend, I'd rather be torn limb from limb by a roaring lion than to miss my seat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Sinner friend, here's what we read in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart, not your head, but if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now then, let's look at still another important must that we read about a little while ago. And we found it in the Word of God this time over in Acts chapter 16. You recall how the Philippian jailer had thought that the prisoners had escaped during the earthquake. And so he was about to kill himself, knowing he himself would be guilty of their crimes as it was in those days. If a prisoner escaped, the jailer was considered guilty of his crimes and had to be punished for that escape. But here's what the jailer said to Paul and Silas. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Did you notice? He says, what must I do to be saved? Now friends, the Bible makes it quite clear that mankind can't do anything to achieve salvation. No salvation is of the Lord. And if man had anything to do with salvation, he'd no doubt make a mess of it, just as he has everything else. Sinner friend, all the doing has already been done at Calvary's cross. And when the Lord Jesus Christ cried out, it is finished, he had satisfied the claims of the Holy God against sin. And now all we have to do is to believe it with all of our heart. But again, I remind you that a sinner can never be saved until he really believes that he's lost. No, a sinner is not saved by good works or church membership or religious rituals either. In Titus 3 and verse 5 we read that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy he saves us. Again, in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9, God declares, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Sinner friend, if you and I could do anything to merit or inherit the salvation of God, then there would have been absolutely no need for the death of Jesus Christ. Ah, but my friend, I want you to know that he willingly died on the cross for our sins, because he was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, bearing away the sin of the world. And mind you, friend, there's no salvation apart from faith in Jesus Christ. In Acts 4 and 12 we read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. There again we read that word must. Whereby we must be saved. Again we hear the Lord Jesus Christ declare in John 10 and 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So friend, if you've never been saved or born again, and you really believe that you're a lost, hell-bound sinner in God's sight today, then why not come by faith to Jesus Christ right now? Why not let my Savior become your Savior too? In John chapter 3 and verse 16, Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, if you'll believe that with all your heart, and if you'll let Jesus Christ come into your heart right now, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy Son, We thank Thee for Thy grace that brought Him from heaven to earth to die on the cross for our sins. We thank Thee, our God, for that cry of victory, it is finished. And our God, those of us who are saved today, we rest where God rests, in the finished work of Christ. And Lord, our desire is to see others brought into the family of God. So we claim Thy promise that Thy word shall not return void. May there be men and women, boys and girls, listening to the broadcast today, who are even now trusting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. May it be so for His name's sake. Amen. Now friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. And if I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, friend, I'll be only too happy to do so. If you'd like to have some good, sound, basic, and fundamental gospel literature to help you understand God's way of salvation, I'll be only too happy to send it to you absolutely free and postpaid. You just write to me, and I'll send it to you by return mail. Now, my address is the Voice of the Gospel. That's the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now onto our next broadcast, Lord willing. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.